Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is one of my favorite Cowboy Mouth songs, and it's called Disconnected, and it's the way I felt yesterday. In fact, Ian, let's go ahead and add this to the Just Stay at Home Jams list. It's our playlist. It's on my Facebook page, Scoot on the Air. And we're going to add this song to it because, you know, there are times when you just feel very disconnected. What I was just talking about has inspired a lot of text comments. I'll get to your text comments. If you want to join us with it, your comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. But right now, I want to talk to Dave Stevens. He's a disaster expert and an author, and Dave wants to share with us something positive that is going to come from this. Dave, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Scoot. I appreciate it.
All right, so first of all, when we look for something positive out of this, it doesn't mean you're glad that it happened. It means that you're finding something positive that may result from this.
That's correct.
Okay. All right, so what you're going to talk about is a positive thing, but it's also an indication of how unprepared America was for this.
Yeah, I've lost a couple friends recently, one in Netherlands and one locally. So we need to take this seriously. I don't want to be insensitive, but there are some very, very powerful positives that are going to come out of all this.
And those positives are that we're essentially, because of the ventilators that are being built, because of the gloves, because of the, well, those are disposable, but because of the plastic face masks, because of all of these things, we're going to be better prepared in the future should something like this happen again.
The differences are going to be huge. The coronavirus is really testing the world's ability to handle a global pandemic. And we're learning what works. We're learning what doesn't work. And we're learning it with a relatively mild virus. I know when I say mild virus, people might be a little bit shocked. But there are much deadlier future viruses that unfortunately are inevitable. A lot of people don't realize the Spanish flu may have killed, by some estimates, close to 10% of the world's population. And unlike COVID-19, it was particularly deadly to those who are 25 years and younger. Some of the outbreaks of Ebola have had a 90% fatality rate. What separates, obviously, the coronavirus from the seasonal flu, which, by the way, on average kills about 37,000 Americans a year, that's 300 a day during the flu season, is the long incubation period. But if you had that incubation period with a more deadly virus, we would have something truly scary. The coronavirus is helping us be much better prepared for these types of viruses in the future.
And we were not prepared. We never expected this to happen. And I think there's a comparison with 9/11, although totally different things. We were not prepared for that. We never thought that would happen. And it seems like there are stories coming out now about how, you know, the Obama administration dealt with Ebola, and that was serious. And there has been talk from president to president. There has been talk that this could happen, but did they not think it would happen?
I think, like everybody, unless something hits us in the face, you know, we have all the immediate crisis. One of the reasons why I even got into this was I was a Navy fighter pilot. I landed on aircraft carriers, and I thought I was immortal until one of my best friends was killed in a crash. And that made me realize I might be avoiding something that's killing me. It turns out 60% of all tactical jet fatalities are tactical pilots literally flying into the ground. So I started working on an invention, a warning system. We got it patented, DARPA funded, et cetera, that would save pilots' lives. And I realized pilots aren't the only people who ignore things that can kill them. It's human nature. And this is a shot across the bow, if you will. And I think as terrible as it is, it could have been much worse. And now I really do think we'll be much better prepared.
So how do you feel about our immediate future? I know it's so hard to predict when the crisis aspect of this will be over. I guess at this point, it's safe to say the coronavirus will never really ever go away.
No, it'll probably resurface, very similar to a seasonal flu. Again, the it's not more deadly than some of the worst seasonal flus. It's probably not even much more contagious if you look at the numbers. But that dang two-week incubation period allows it to spread far and wide. The good news is we will come up with a vaccine that will be in place or should be in place before the worst of the next outbreak. But again, we're going to be a little bit of a different world. We're all going to be a little bit of more of germaphobes. Most importantly, when something pops, when something strikes, I think we'll be able to react much more quick. I mean, especially as far as going into isolation.
You know, I'm very open about the fact that I'm a germaphobe, so there are some aspects of my life that have not changed at all. Maybe I'm ramping it up just a little bit, but I always had the sanitation wipes as soon as I got home to clean my keys and my phone, and I washed my hands and did all of that anyway. Now I can't find the sanitation wipes because everybody's buying them out. So I wonder if this is going to, and I think it will, but this could actually make America in general healthier because I think some people are going to carry these habits with them.
I couldn't agree more. There's a lot of learning points. I mean, from big stuff like businesses and economies need to make sure that they have reserves to weather a temporary global shutdown because it's going to happen again. And I'm not even talking about virus, local disasters, national, international. I mean, that's what I do. I took the top few disasters using probabilistic risk analysis, and I made a story out of each one of them. I figured if I could scare pilots into reacting, maybe I can scare the public. But the bottom line is we have got to be tougher. We have to become more robust. And it's not just businesses. It's not just corporations and governments. I think we have to take some responsibility with our own household. It's easy to point fingers at the government and corporation, but I believe that every household, not now, but every household should stock up on at least about 2 weeks of stuff so they don't have to do a store run. And I'm not talking about becoming a prepper or survivalist, just 2 weeks without a store run. And I know people's first reaction is, oh, that's fear-mongering or it's being selfish. It's not. In fact, it helps everyone by reducing the strain on local infrastructure because you don't have to raid a store. It may allow us to help our neighbors, maybe who don't have the means or access. And also, if we do this after the virus has passed, and let me emphasize that, after the crisis has passed, buying up a bunch of stuff will maybe help restart our stalled economy.
All right, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Dave Stevens. I'm Scoot on WWL. He's a disaster expert and an author. And he's talking about how this is going to prepare us, excuse me, for when this happens again or when something else like this happens, because we clearly were not prepared. It seems as if the fact that when people get this, there is this incubation period, and then suddenly without knowing it, a number of people get sick, and it's the pressure that it puts on the medical and health community that's really one of the bigger problems.
It is. And, you know, one of the things we're going to learn from that is we're going to have, obviously, a lot more ventilators. We're going to have a lot more protective equipment. That will never happen again. We know that will end up being stockpiled. So there's some basic learning points that we're going to take away from this. I think individually we're all going to be a little bit more careful. And from a global position, a lot of businesses are realizing that going online, having an internet presence, isn't a nice to have anymore. It's crucial if you want to survive. Retail stores, etc. I mean, our daughter, who's a millennial, she just finished doing a virtual gym workout, and she's going to be going to a virtual happy hour. So even non-traditional businesses that you think can't go online probably can, and they're going to have to if they want to survive in the future.
And Dave, you know, we thought we were an isolated community before because, you know, of social media, and in some ways we've become more isolated, but it's also the reaching out through social media that is showing that we have this desire to be a community.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's a human need. I'm an introvert by nature, but I get cabin fever. I find that I'm walking around our neighborhood. I'm meeting more people than I've ever met. People want to interact. Yes, we stand at a social distance, of course, driveway to driveway, but people are more likely to engage. I've met more neighbors, and I think a lot of people have been in that situation.
Is there another disaster that you've investigated that you could compare this to, even if it's not specific, just in terms of just the theory of how it's all playing out?
Yes, there's. Like I said, I use probabilistic risk analysis, and that's the same science your insurance company uses. It sounds impressive, but it just looks at probability that something will happen, something bad, versus the consequence. And the top four or five, unfortunately, pandemics are one of them. I just want to emphasize, not this one. This is not an apocalyptic global pandemic, but it's preparing us for one. Some of the other things that are out there that unfortunately rose to the top are things like, believe it or not, an asteroid or comet impact. And by the way, these are all things that we have that are preventable, things that we can do something about. Solar superstorm, or even artificial intelligence. And I don't want to depress people and go into that, but that's what I do. I build stories around that, and I show what we can do to prevent that.
So how do you sleep at night?
Well, I'd sleep better if I think people were waking up to the risks. There's no point in running around, you know, like Chicken Little, if there isn't something we can do about it. But all these things are preventable. All these things we can take action. We can either prevent them or we can mitigate them. Sometimes I joke, I would love to see a fairly large asteroid strike in the middle of the Sahara Desert where it won't hurt anybody, but it will wake everybody up.
That's a really interesting metaphor. So we need to continue to do what we're doing. And I've spent a lot of time on my show talking about how it's great that we're starting to see some encouraging news with the number of cases and deaths, but we have to continue to do what we're doing right now. And you talked about how we need to be tougher. That's not only as individuals, but as a country.
I agree. And, you know, I think this is going to sound a little bit strange, but I would encourage people because I think the train wreck, unfortunately, from the recession, the economy, is in progress. It's about to happen. I would encourage people to start looking at having a second stream of income, having a side business, a side hustle, whatever you want to call it, and something mm-hmm. that's immune to or at least resistant to disasters and recessions. And I've had people go, what would that be? And I'm like, dude, Amazon, you know, an Amazon type of model. Mm-hmm. There are businesses out there, and that would also secure people. Having a little stockpile that they can depend on and having a second income would vastly reduce the stress.
It was interesting how you talked about maybe the lesson to be learned from this is that everybody should have a two-week supply of food and groceries in their house. It's something that we think about every hurricane season, which starts officially June the 1st here. And we see people, if a storm starts to approach, even though it doesn't come here, we've gone out and we've bought canned goods and non-perishable items, and we've done this and we've done that to prepare. And if it doesn't come, well, we have it for the next time. So that is interesting advice to be prepared to just stay at home for 2 weeks and not even go to the store.
Yes, I'm living in Tennessee right now. As a Navy pilot, I've lived in probably a dozen different states, but I've lived in Florida, and you guys are ahead of the game. You've experienced disaster on a huge scale. I think a lot of the rest of the country can learn from that. You know how to prepare. Well, the rest of the country has to realize they're not immune to things like well, maybe they're immune to hurricanes, but they're not immune to the result of that.
Right. Dave, do you want to talk about a website or a book that you wrote?
The series I have right now is called the Fused Trilogy. That's F-U-Z-E-D. A little bit weird. And the first book is Impact. You can kind of guess what that is. And then we've got Imagine and Impossible. Won't give it away. The fourth book, which isn't out, so I can't self-promote because it's still six months away from publication. But in fact, the title, believe it or not, is Immune. And
really?
It's got a giant virus on the front. Yeah, bad timing on my part, I guess.
Good timing.
And the Fused Trilogy is on Facebook, and there's also fused.org. I've got a nonprofit organization that's intended to educate. I use a board of directors. I use a board of advisors that include astronauts, CIA agents, special forces, meteorologists, etc. So people, I go, well, how do you have the expert? Yeah, I'm an engineer. I have degrees and advanced degrees in statistics and human factors, but basically I depend on the experts.
All right, it's Fused, F-U-Z-E-D, .org.
Yes, sir, and Fused Trilogy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Dave Stevens, thanks for being with us. We're going to keep your number because we may have to talk again. I hope we don't. I hope it's over soon enough, but you really have brought some really interesting information to the table. So thank you for our conversation.
Thank you, Scoot. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.